that so true? Every time you turn on the TV every morning and you hear all the bad news, you have to state, I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And it makes heaven look a whole lot more sweeter, doesn't it? Amen. We're glad to have tonight a new ministry that's going to be starting up. We did not have the opportunity to be here early when the Christian school was here at the early part of the years, but now we have the opportunity to see and hear and experience a brand new ministry that's starting, and a lot of excitement generated about it. I'm hearing a lot of buzz around everywhere, and the phones have been ringing off the hook concerning the Christian school, and we're glad that there's a gentleman in whom great confidence has been placed, and I'm building you up, brother, in whom we know the Lord's going to use greatly. And we are certainly glad to have Brother Scott Traymore on the staff here. And having him up here on this platform is kind of like having me meet Brother Zellner. I feel really, 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 really dumb and small. But here's a gentleman in charge of our Christian education, a director, and I know that if he has information he wants to share with us about how things are progressing so far, we're anxious to hear from him in every way. Brother Traymore, come ahead, sir. God bless you. Amen.
Thank you very much. Take your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis chapter number 37. Genesis chapter 37. I do want to thank the church for making us feel at home. When I talked to Pastor Crawford about taking a position in the Christian school, I told him, I said, look, I get a job anywhere that I need to. I said, I'm not worried about getting a job, but what I need is I need a church to help me raise my family. Now, there's a lot of us that think that we always can do it on our own, which we cannot. And I need to turn this thing on here, I guess. You just hold it in. This thing is as dead as a whistle. Me, that's for sure. Are we on now? Oh, hold on. We got somebody coming. Hey, if you've never golfed with this fellow that's coming up, he's an excellent golfer, just by the way. So if you ever want to be on a team that can... Oh, look at that. See? Just have to open it up. Hey, you guys hired a great guy. I mean, I know how to work one of these things. But I am not... I didn't come in here to get a job. I came in here to get a church. And I'm so excited. I have three children, 14... 12 and 8, and I am excited about them meeting new friends. There was an old preacher, Pastor Hank Thompson, 2 weeks before he died. He was standing behind his pulpit, the church that he started in Austin, Texas, and he looked into the face of the congregation that was there, and with tears in his voice and crackling in his voice, he looked at us and said, I want to thank you for helping me raise my children. And I'm going to tell you, it takes more than just you to raise your kids. So tonight, I hope you've come in here ready to understand the Scriptures. I'm going to share you my heart and my passion tonight. And I hope that as we build this message, there's going to be a lot of introduction. There's going to be a couple of points at the very end. I'm going to tie it together. We're going to blow it up, and then we're going to get out of here tonight. So I hope that you're on your edge of your seat tonight. I know Wednesday night crowd's very tough because you're tired. You worked all day, and us preachers, you know, we'd only work one day a week. And, you know, so we have all the energy and expecting you guys to be happy and excited. But I'm going to tell you tonight, I am super excited. Pray for us. We are looking for a house. We are on staff with Pastor Mosley, First Baptist Church, and ran their Christian school for a long time. He's kicking us out of the prophet's chamber. And it is the church's house, so we're getting kicked out here real soon. I'm just joking like that. He wouldn't kick us out. But I do need to get out of there. And so if you know of someone that knows of someone, it is about who you know. And we don't have a lot of money. Just keep that in mind. Some of you are thinking, yes, he can spend $1,500 a month on rent. But if you know somebody, pray for us. That's a big move for our family. We'd love and I know a lot of times people say, well, you don't want to rent to Christians. Well, you know what? Who better else to rent to? You know, Christians have been bad in the past when you rent to... Well, we're going to change that philosophy. We need to make sure that we do that. Genesis chapter number 37 tonight. I'm going to read some Bible to you, and we're going to build the foundation. And boy, I'll tell you what, it's going to be exciting. I am excited about it. Genesis chapter number 37, look at, if you would, in verse number 5. In verse number 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brothers, and they hated him yet the more. If you'll go back with me into Genesis, the first verse in Genesis chapter 37. Jacob dwelt in the land therein with his father, a stranger in the land of Canaan. And then you go down to the generations and generations from there. Go with me into verse number 12. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. Let me set the scene for you. Joseph's daddy told him, I want you to go check on your brothers. I sent him out there to feed those sheep and to make sure that they were well, but I want you to go check on them. Look at verse 13. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. Joseph said, I'm right here, Dad. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. Check out verse number 15. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in a field. The Bible is full of many characters. And the Bible is full of many men and women that were real men and women in the Word of God. This man has no name. But I'm going to tell you, thank the Lord for a man, a certain man, that wasn't concerned about his name being out there, but he pointed Joseph in the right direction of his brothers. Now, that part of it is going to come in at the very end of my message today. Listen, we need people in our lives to point us in the right direction. And I know it's great that in your life that you've had some people that are way up there, a pastor or a mom or a dad, but there are some people in your life that you think about as you're sitting in your seat today that have pointed you in the right direction, and that'll help you. Joseph was wandering in that field, and this man said, I'm going to point you. Your brothers, look what happens in verse number 15. And a certain man found them wandering in the field, and the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And he said, and the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Now, his dad told him to go to Shechem to feed the sheep. This man was in the field. Here comes Joseph wandering around. And he says, they're in Dothan. That's a 20-mile road trip for Joseph to find his brothers. Look what happens in verse number 17, verse number 18. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto him, they conspired against him to slay him. Now, let you understand. In verse number 3 in Genesis chapter 37, Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. You can read the rest of that passage, and what you'll see is his brothers could not stand Joseph. One, because his dad loved him more. And two, because he got a coat of many colors. And three, because he had some dreams. Now, there's nothing wrong with dreaming. But his dreams were prophetic dreams, and his dreams offended his brothers. His brothers didn't like him very much. The Bible says they hated him. Now, I don't like the word hate. I grew up with four brothers and sisters. Two brothers and two sisters. And I had my little brother, his name was Arthur. And I had my middle brother, his name is Jamie. One day we were outside, and me and my big brother, my middle brother Jamie, we were shooting our little brother in the backside with a BB gun. Because that's what brothers do. That's what older brothers do. And we shot him, and it's fun to see him, you know, that's the fun part. Made my mother furious. She was very mad at us. My mom was not the disciplinarian in our family. She was the screamer. And I don't know if you guys had moms and dads like that. That's why I am the way that I am. My dad was the spanker, and my mom was the screamer. Now, some of you kids are thinking, what's a spanking? Yeah, in this generation, we have to explain that to you. It's just a little step more than time out. You got that, Sarah? Just a little bit. Anyways, my mom was so angry with us. Dad ran a tire shop my whole life growing up. My mom ran a daycare in the house her whole time growing up. And so Dad comes home in his 1979 El Camino. He drives up, we can hear him, he had pipes on the side. And my mom starts her yelling and screaming, Art, the boys are out of control! The boys! They're shooting Arthur, my loving son, with a BB gun! You're gonna have to beat the boys! Now, at that point, we knew that us brothers better go into our room, and we got our Bibles out and started reading our Bibles like we were, you know, wonderful children. And so we're sitting there with our Bibles, and my dad comes in, and my mom's outside the door. Or you need to spank the boys! So he comes into the room, and we knew that he was angry.
Now, I don't know what I know now because I'm a married person and I understand how fathers and mothers relate, but I didn't know it back then. So my dad comes in, locks the door. He's not happy. Now, with me, disciplining our children, you know, I bring my son in. He's Silas. He's 14, and he did something bad, and I sit him down, and I say, Silas, what did you do wrong? Let's pray. And let's pray together, and then we need to ask the Lord for forgiveness, because ultimately in Psalms, when David does his sin, he said it's against God and God only. And so we pray, and then we give him time out, Sarah. And then we pray again and ask the Lord to forgive us and help me to be a better father. Now, that's the ultimate greatest way to discipline. My dad was not like that. I'm really not like that. But anyways, he comes in. He was not happy for us shooting our brother. So we had three bunk beds when I was growing up. We didn't have a very big house. I was on the bottom. Jamie was in the middle. Arthur was on the top. And my dad was livid. Mom was screaming, all right, you got a basement, come on. And so me, Jamie, and Arthur jump on the top bunk. Now, my dad was a very small, short guy. About 5'4". He had Oompa Loompa arms, you know, kind of like a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Wasn't a very big fella. He retained water. Big boned. I don't know how you want to say it. He was, you know. Anyways, we jumped on the top bunk, and it was way up there. And my dad started spanking us with the belt. So I'm in the back. Jamie's in the middle. Arthur's up front. And my dad's jumping up and down with the belt trying to hit us. We're pushing Arthur out there in the front so Arthur gets hit. Not only does he get hit with a BB gun, he's getting hit with the belt. Me and Jamie, we're laughing. Laughing is not the thing you want to do. So my dad is furious because we couldn't help but laugh because you just see the short little tiny guy jumping up trying to hit us. It's really great. He got so mad, he ripped the barrier off of the third bunk bed, which is nothing but a big old giant 2x4 thing. And when we saw him and his eyes and he ripped that thing off there and he started beating us with that, we knew it was serious. It got past Jamie, it got past Arthur, and it got to me, and he's jumping up with this 2x4 and just trying to beat us. And my mom is out listening at the door. And here's what we hear. Through all the crying, we hear, Art, that's my dad's name, Art, stop beating the boy! We were getting beat because you cried and yelled at him so he could beat us. And now we're all confused as young children. We didn't understand. But we didn't hate my brother Arthur. We loved my brother Arthur, but we were just having a little bit of fun. Joseph's brothers could not stand him. They hated him. They didn't even like the sight of him. Look what happens in this next verse. I'm getting somewhere, so just bear with me, okay? And he said, a certain man found them, verse number 19, and they said one to another, behold, the dreamer cometh. Now, therefore, let us slay him. Oh, they didn't like him so much they wanted to kill him. And cast him into some pit, and we may say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what shall become of his dreams. And Reuben, oh, you gotta love Reuben. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. Let's not kill our brother. Reuben, the oldest, the one that had the most integrity, said, no, we don't want to kill him. Look what happens in verse number 21. And Reuben heard it and delivered him, verse number 22. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood, but cast him into the pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he may be rid of their hands, to deliver him into the father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was coming to his brother, they stripped Joseph his coat, and the coat of many colors, and was laid upon him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, for there was no water in it. Verse 25. And they sat down to eat bread. Now, can you just imagine? These boys coming together, they take the brother's coat and rip it off him, throw him in a pit, and they're like, oh, 11 of them, is just, now we're hungry. Let's just sit down and eat. I'm going as fast as I can. I'm talking as fast as I can because I got a lot of scripture. And like I said, this introduction is going to lead to something, so just bear with me. They're in the pit and they say, oh, I'm done. I'm ready to eat now. No, that made me hungry trying to fit them into a pit. So they threw them into a pit. Look what happens. And they took them and cast them into the pit. Verse 25. And lifted up their eyes and looked. And behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead that their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh going to carry them down to Egypt. Now here's what I want you to get. Verse number 26. Look what it says. And Judah, who is that? You guys asleep? How can you sleep with such a loud preacher? Judah. Now you got to remember Judah. Don't forget the name Judah. And Judah said unto his brother, what profited us if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Judah says again, come and let me sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, and our flesh and his brethren were content. You could go to 28 all the way to verse number 36 on your own time and read what happens to them. Judas steps up and says, we're not going to kill him. We're not going to leave him in the pit. But what we're going to do is we're going to sell him. And the reason we're going to sell him, because it profits us. It profits us. There's something in it for me, Judas said. There's nothing in it for me if we kill him. But if we sell him, we'll have a little bit of money. Judas said that. Now, if you look at chapter 38 of Genesis, you'll see I call it the disaster chapter of the Bible. Judah messed up his life. Judah royally just took his life and threw it down the drain. Well, what a disaster chapter in the Bible for Judah. Judah came and said, no, we're not going to kill him. We're going to sell him. We're going to profit a little bit out of it. And then right after that comes 38, the disaster chapter for Judah in his life, where his life goes straight downhill. Take your Bibles to Daniel chapter number 1. Daniel chapter number 1. All right, is everybody okay? Listen, I'm a preacher. I'm not a school guy. I love kids and I love that, but I'm a preacher. And I like what Abraham Lincoln said. He said, I want to see a man when he preaches act like he's being stung by 1,000 bees. That's what Abraham Lincoln said. That's what he wants to see. Daniel chapter number 1. In the third year, verse number 1, the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of who? Judah. Now let me set the scene for you. Judah was one of the 12 tribes of who? Israel, better known as Jacob. Here they come in verse number 1 in Daniel chapter 1. In the beginning of the year of reign of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into Jerusalem and besieged it. Verse number 2 is very important. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. What did the Lord do? What's the verb there? Gave. It was God's will for God to give Judah to the enemy. I'm going to let Babylon besiege you. I'm going to let you get defeated. God said that of Judah. Judah, God's chosen people. Israel, God's chosen people. Those tribes, God's chosen people. Why does bad things happen to good people? You've heard that before, haven't you? God said, I'll give Judah to Babylon. Look what happens in verse number 2. He said in verse number 2, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into the hand, and the part of the vessels of the house of God, which he gave into the house of Shinar, and the house of God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure of the house of his God. Look at verse number 3. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz. I love Ashpenaz. That's a great name. I would have loved to name one of my kids Ashpenaz. It's just fun to say, right, teens? Okay, I guess not. Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain children of Israel, of the king's seed, and of the princesses. Now, I want you to look at verse number 4. We read this chapter a lot, but I don't think we've ever tied it together. Children in whom was no what? Blemish. Meaning that they were good-looking kids. Meaning that they didn't have a whole lot of bad things going on in their lives. Look what happens in the next part. But well what? I don't care what people think of me. That's teenagers. Here's what I'm so happy about. This is just an excerpt. It's not in my sermon. I'm so happy I'm not the youth pastor. I've been the youth pastor for so many years. I'm tired. I'm grumpy. I need a nap. Okay? And I'm so thankful. Hey, if you're not thankful for Brother Latta, I'm thankful for Brother Latta. Do you think I want to be out in the heat at 195 degrees right now? I'm glad I'm in the air conditioner. I'm thankful for that. You better be thankful for you, Pastor. Just to throw that in there. If the Holy Spirit gets you a little bit, that's good. I'm glad for you. They said, oh, well favored. Hey, listen, you better have people like you. I don't care what people think of me. I'm sorry, that's not God's word. You're supposed to have a good testimony. We're supposed to make sure that we are well favored in the community. They're supposed to look at us and say, you know what? Hey, that's a good Christian man. Not the attitude with, I don't care what you think about me. Okay. All right. You can go somewhere else. Listen, we are a product of Heritage Baptist Church. That's who we represent. We represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We ought to be well-liked. Okay, that's just preaching. I'll leave that. Brother Crawford, some of you are just looking at me like you just sucked on a sour pickle. Children and who was no blemish. Oh, that's right. We're talking about children. It doesn't talk about men and women. I'm sorry. I took it out of context. I don't think so. That's being sarcastic. Are you guys okay? All right, that's excellent. But well-favored and skillful in all what? Wisdom, cunning in knowledge, and understanding science. How many like science? 2, 4, 5, 8 of you. Excellent. Science confuses me. He said cunning in all science. And such had the ability to them to stand in the king's palace. at whom they might teach in learning the tongue of the Chaldeans. These qualities that Ashpenaz was looking for. Now, I'm going to tie it together for you, and I hope that you can see it. Joseph was not liked by his brothers. Reuben said, let's don't kill him, let's put him in a pit. Judah said, no, let's sell him so we can make a little profit. We go many years later, and we're looking at this tribe of Judah getting captive by this Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon, and they take all of their possessions of Judah, all of their women, and mostly kill all the men and take their children. Now, what I want you to see tonight is that these young people needed to have some things in their life. They needed to have some science, and they needed to have some knowledge, and they needed to be able to stand in the king's court, meaning that when other kings came to Nebuchadnezzar's court, that his court was amazing, and they had great men and great young people around his court. That they were going to speak the tongue of the Chaldeans. Now, here's my question for you. When Babylon took over Judah, and they captured, they got these boys, and they got these young men, and they brought them to put in the king's palace, and they stood there with reverence, and they had the science, and they had the knowledge, and they had all the things, and they stood there for King Nebuchadnezzar. In that grand stage, these boys just didn't decide that they were going to learn what they learned in Babylon. They didn't all of a sudden get to Babylon and think, okay, now I've got to be good in science, I've got to be well-favored, I've got to be well-liked, I've got to be good in knowledge, and I've got to have some understanding, and I'm going to stand in the king's palace. They did not learn that in Babylon. Where they learned it was in Judah. My message to you tonight is, we better teach our kids in Judah before they get into Babylon, which is the real world, so they fall flat on their face. Now it's preaching time. That was all introduction. They learned it in Judah. Now, Judah had a messed up life. Judah was not somebody that had a great a resume of good things. But let me tell you something. God specializes in messed up people. Listen, just because you've messed up in life doesn't mean that God's not going to use you. Just because you've fallen down. The Bible says a just man falls how many times? Seven, and rises up again, doesn't he? Judah had a messed up life. Go home and read Genesis chapter 38. What a disaster. But God still used Judah. And there were some people that were in Judah that decided to train their young people to live for God. And when they got captive by Babylon, they could stand in the king's court on their own. They could have some science. They could have some knowledge. They could have some wisdom. Thank God for people that were in Judah that taught the kids. Now, it is not the responsibility of the state of Texas or the responsibility of the United States of America to teach our children. It is our responsibility. Now we're preaching. Now we're ready. Are you okay? It's our and some of you look like, no, it's not. It is not our, it's not our, according to Matthew chapter number 28, verses 19 and 20, it is our responsibility. I'll show that to you when we tie it all together. It is godly parents' responsibility to teach our children. Not hirelings that we hire from the state to be certified by the state to teach our kids. Now, we've lost this. Now, this sermon would be fine 25 years ago. But now we're in 2014 and everybody gets a little nervous. You know what? It's so easy to send our kids to public school and say, oh, let's just let them teach them. Let's just let them develop their character. Folks, Israel was called God's chosen what? People. If you're saved here tonight, you are God's chosen people. And when you become a God's chosen people, it's our responsibility to take our children and train them right here in Judah, where they're at right now. Because when they graduate and they go on to the University of Babylon and they get out there in the real world, they'll be able to function and not be a disappointment to society. Our responsibility, adults, to teach our children. Nobody else's. I firmly believe that. I talked to, is Miss Elsa in here? Oh, she is right there. I see her. Yep, you're right there. I'm going to point her out because she likes that. She does it really. Her biggest concern yesterday when I talked to her, she said this. She said, is this just a 1 year thing? Are we just going to start this thing and be done in a year? Let me tell you something, folks. God's work never ends. I talked to an old teacher, an old missionary this past week. And I said, listen, God's not done with you yet. Just because you're retired, God's not finished with you yet. What you're going to find out from Brother Scott is, I'm going to use everybody in the church to help us raise our children. I don't want to be used. Don't look at me. Don't have eye contact to me. I don't. I'm done with kids. Kids drive me crazy. They're the parents of these kids are. I can't handle. I'm going to use you. And you may tell me no. I talked to a lady today, and she didn't tell me no. I said, look, I said, you don't have to tell. If you tell me no, I'm just going to keep asking. With a little smile. Listen, because we all have to serve God. And if we're going to do this thing, and not if, when we do this thing and we start this Christian school, it's going to take a church. I'm not going to sit up here and preach to you about Hillary Clinton, and it takes a village. But you know what it takes to have a Heritage Christian Academy? It takes Heritage Baptist Church. The school is not going to wag the church. 90% of Christian schools, the school drains the church of finances. Some of you got the bobblehead going on right now. Because you've seen it. You've seen it work. You've seen how schools have just taken the money from the church and it's just sapped them and sapped them. Every month you're looking at it and you think, how in the world? Hey, let me tell you something. There's no better investment in the world than for us to give our kids a Christian education. Nothing better. My whole life I grew up in Christian education. I spent 2 weeks at a public school. My mom and dad could not pay for all five of us to go to Christian school. My pastor was my uncle, and my mom and his wife were sisters. We all five had to stand before the trustees, and they said, listen, you can't pay your school bill, so we're going to have to dismiss you. I went to public school for 2 weeks. I didn't understand back then when I was 11 years old what that meant, but I'm going to tell you what it means to me now is that my mom and dad sacrificed so much to put me through a Christian school. So much. At First Baptist, the school that we came from, last year we had 8 graduates. And 6 of them graduates went from K-5 to the 12th grade in the same school. One of the graduates up there, he drove about 40 miles to school every day. His mom and dad did. I added up the miles. He could have went to China and back driving in a car 12 times for the amount of miles that he had to come to school every day during his 12-year career at the school. I added up all that money and I gave him just a $2.50 gas allowance per gallon. You know, it's $3.75 an hour or whatever. And honestly, by the time he got done and all the lunches that he bought and all the books that he bought and all the money that mom and dad put into him for tuition and for books and for field trips and for sports and for shoes and for everything, he was well worth over $100,000 that his mom invested in that little boy to go to school at our school. Let me tell you something. You know what they could have if they had a $100,000 bill in their hand? Now at graduation, what I do is I bring the graduate on the platform and I give them a charge from myself to him in front of everybody. A 5-minute charge of what he's done in the Christian school, what I feel like he should do in the future, and challenge him in front of everybody. Because that's who they're there to see. They're not there to see a fat old bald preacher. They're to see the graduate. So I put him up there and I talk to him in front of them. And they laugh and I have funny stories and I embarrass him. But that day I told him, I said, he's worth $100,000. And then I came down off the platform. I looked straight in his God-given eyeballs. And I said, what is the dividend that you're going to pay your mom and dad back for investing $100,000 into you? Now let me tell you something. It's not free. It's going to take some sacrifice. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some gas. It's going to take some miles. It's going to take a lot of things and a lot of inconvenience to send your child to a Christian school. But let me tell you something, that's not a better investment that you could ever do. The fact of the matter is, it's a command by God. These boys, when they were captive, oh, it's bad. They saw their mom alive. They saw probably their dad die. I'm sure that they were sad that God gave them over to the Babylonians and that they were sitting there with Nebuchadnezzar. But let me tell you something, how proud it was. And you know who those boys, some of those boys were, don't you? Does anybody remember the name Belshazzar? Who was that? Daniel. If you help me, I'll get done quicker. See how I smile? It's always nice. They had Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Belshazzar, all standing in the king's palace. Thank God for guys, young men and young women that got married and had children and raised their children right. Hey, let me tell you something. Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful man in the world at that time. He could have chose any tribe, any generation, any people to come and stand in his king's court. But he saw something different about those Judah boys. Oh, hallelujah. I thank God that he gives us chance after chance after we mess up. And we can look at it now and say, Judah, what a piece of trash! You ruined your life! I can't believe you did what you did! Here's the capper of it all. Are you ready? In Matthew chapter number 1, and in Luke chapter number 3, and in Revelation chapter number 5, there's somebody that comes out of that Judah. There's a lion from the tribe of Judah. It was Jesus Christ. If Judah never would have did what he did with Joseph back in Genesis chapter number 37, we wouldn't see what we saw in Revelation chapter 5, where Jesus Christ came out of that line and saved everybody from their sins. Thank God that he still uses men and women just like you and me to make an influence in history. Now I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you that same kind of passion with your kids. I see that it's very important for us to have a influence on their lives. Our school is Christian first. We don't have a heritage school Christian. It's Heritage Christian Academy. Every morning, these young people are going to get Bible. The very first thing that they get. We're going to open up the Word of God. We're going to have some devotions. We're going to get it set right off. I'm going to take the devil out of their backpacks. I'm going to take the devil out of their belt loops. I'm going to take the devil out of their iPods. I'm going to take the devil out of their iPhones. And we're going to get them out of the Christian school early in the morning so we can have a good day for God. All of my staff are going to do the same thing. We're going to do some pledges and honor our country because thank God for the freedoms, and we prayed for it earlier, that we have in our country because of men and women that sacrifice their lives so we can have the freedom that we have to have a Christian school. I am so thankful that Pastor Eric Crawford has decided to start a Christian school. When he came to me, I wasn't looking. He said, listen, I have a passion. I have a desire to start a Christian school. I said, well, that's great because I think that it's God's will that every church has a Christian school. And I said, we're going to be Christian first. Listen, folks of heritage, or shall I say, chosen people of the Lord, Israel, or shall I say, Judah. Listen, we're not going to produce a Jesus Christ like Judah did. But we can do our very best to train them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, like Proverbs says, and have them grow up. Listen, all of the ones that trained those boys that were in Judah, they weren't Jesus. They were just men and women just like you and I. But here's what they did. They sacrificed their time and their talents and their teaching abilities and their physical education abilities, their microwave abilities to do lunches for the kids, supervisors on field trips, them coming in and having a devotional, or some of you ex-preachers and missionaries coming in and preaching a chapel to young people. There are so many things that Heritage Baptist Church needs to put into these kids at the Christian school. And I'm here to draft you. I see Judah. And I see that we can raise some good kids in this country. But it's going to take a church. I ain't asking the Lutheran daycare down the road to train our children. We had Little Country Daycare this morning and used one of our rooms to have their graduation. Oh, what a blessing it is to see those little kids. Listen, if I had to teach little kids, I would be in jail. Just to let you know. My wife is going to teach kindergarten. She's going to be in charge of the kindergarten department, K-3, K-4, and K-5. She'll actually teach K-5. She's the best kindergarten teacher that you'll ever find in the world. I'm going to get some loving tonight, aren't I? That's her passion. Now, I've always needed to help me teach English and Algebra 1, Algebra 2, and geometry and trigonometry and all the rest of that. But I'm going to tell you, she loves to do that. And I hope and I pray that we have the biggest class in kindergarten for her. Listen, folks, we're raising some children for the Lord. Take your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 28, and I'm finished. Matthew chapter 28. I hope you're okay. I know you weren't expecting this tonight. Some of you are just, you need to breathe. Some of you ain't breathing 10 minutes. I mean, you're holding your breath. You're thinking, this guy, what in the world is going on? Pastor Crawford's lost his mind. I told him, I said, look, you need to sign a waiver. You hired me. You need to sign a waiver. I said, listen, I've taught your kids for the last 6 years, Heritage Kids, you know, all your... you know, the Caleb Crawfords and the Taylors and the Wiggins, and you know, we can go on and on and on, and the Brennans. Oh, that got you, some of you, didn't you? Hey! You know, I've taught all those kids, and I said, listen, you know what you're getting. You know what you're getting. I'm not one that just stands back and lets sin happen. It's not going to happen. You know, your kid comes to Christian school here, and then they say something, and they do something wrong. Listen, I can't help what they say. But when they say it, I can deal with it, and it won't happen again. And I said, you know what you're getting, so you better sign your waiver, because, you know, my biggest ability is people. I love people. I love dealing with kids. I love pushing and I love motivating. And I can find the motivation in almost every child. There's one child in my 15 career of being in a Christian school that I could not find what was his passion. And he graduated two Fridays ago. What a blob. He's not here. We can gossip about him. Just relax. His name is Kevin. You have no idea who he is. But I couldn't find his passion, but mostly every child. I could find what pushes him. I could find what makes him go. I could find out what makes him tick. I could find out what I could do to make him excel. In Matthew chapter number 20, I know some of you right now are looking at your watches and you're thinking, it's almost, you got 6 minutes until 8 o'clock. Okay? The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 18, look what it says. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, now he's talking to his disciples. He's talking to you. When I read the Bible, I always try to make it personal to me. Sometimes we can read the Bible and say, oh, he's talking to David. No, the Bible's talking to you. Okay? And when he says this, and when Jesus came and spake unto them, the them is Heritage Baptist Church. Now listen, I'm not trying to make the Bible, I'm not trying to rewrite the Bible. I'm just trying to personalize it for you a little bit. Okay? So bear with me. Some of you are looking like, what is he trying to do? Brother Crawford, he's trying to change the Bible. He comes back from vacation. He's got 17 emails. He tried to change He's talking to you. And Jesus came and spake unto Heritage, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Thank God that he has the power. Amen. Praise God he has the power. Go ye therefore and what? What does it say, church? It doesn't say preach. Well, Jesus, he wants you to preach. It says what? Teach. Teach. All nations. That's including the United States of America. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. First word of verse number 20. What is that? Teaching them to observe what? All things. The science, the knowledge, the wisdom. Remember those boys back in Judah that were captive in Babylon? Teaching them all things. Look what it says. To observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. It's not a suggestion. I'm suggesting that Heritage Baptist Church teach the children. No. I command you. You teach all things. Look what it says. I love the Bible. Some of you are like, oh man alive, I don't know about this. I love the Word of God. And I'm glad that it speaks to me. And I'm glad I can make it personal to me. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Thank you! Thank you, God, that you're with us. We're humans and we make a lot of mistakes. I'm Brother Scott and I make a lot of mistakes. And I'm going to make mistakes with your children. And I'm not going to do some things you're not going to like. But I'm thankful that my God has all the power. And he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. Thank you, Lord, for that. Even unto the end of the what? Well, now, one thing I preach a lot, but I don't preach a lot on prophecy. Because it scares me. I'm in Brother Wiggins' Sunday school class, and he's teaching on Revelation. He's not teaching, he's preaching. Don't let him fool you, some of you that are in our class. He's teaching on Revelation. It scares me. It really does, because I don't really always understand it. But what I do know is that God is with me all the way to the end. I just turned 40. I'm a diabetic. Went to the doctor. He said, you're the worst diabetic in my whole clinic. And I said, so I'm number one. I didn't even know I was diabetic. I had no clue. He said, you have the highest numbers. I said, so I'm in first place. And then last year he told me, he said, you're not doing anything about it. He said, I'm going to have to fire you as my patient. I'm like, that's against the rules. You can't fire your patient. Has anybody ever heard of that before? Yeah, Ledbetter's a liar. You can't fire your patients. Anyways, he said that. Hey, listen, I don't have much longer to live. But what I do know is that God is with me to the end, and I'm going to do the very best that I can do to serve Him every day of my life. And my job now on this earth is to run Heritage Christian Academy and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. But here's what I need. I need Heritage Baptist Church to get on board. I got two amens. Genesis, we'll go back and preach it again. We're live stream. We'll just, you know. Listen, Judah did it. And I know we don't live in the same day and age as Judah did. But I'm going to tell you, God has given us the same power that He gave Judah back then as He gives us right now to raise godly kids. I didn't say raise good kids. I said raise godly kids. Godly comes before good. Folks, I hope that you're behind us. I pray that you're behind us. There's some of you that I want to use in the ministry so bad. I've got about three teachers left that I need to hire for the high school. And I'm going to tell you, we're trying to get these teachers certified. We're trying to get them all state certified. We're trying to get the Christian school certified and all of that stuff. And all that stuff's going to come with time. But the fact of the matter is that we have a commandment from Jesus to teach our children. Let's don't fail. Let's don't say, oh, Brother Scott, it's just not worth it. It's not worth the sacrifice of the tuition. It's just not worth all that stuff. It is worth it. Because if it wasn't worth it, something would not have come out of Judah. God would have used another tribe to bring Jesus out of that. But I'm so thankful that even though Judah had a messed up little time in his life, that God still used him. And he could lead that tribe. And he could train those men. He could train those ladies to train their kids. And then when it came time for the worst time of their life of being captive by Babylon and being slaves, they still had children that could stand for God. You read the rest of Daniel chapter number 1, and you'll see that Daniel purposed his heart. He wasn't going to partake of the king's meat. And we don't have time tonight because a lot of you are looking at your watches. You want to go. But they said, we're not going to eat the king's meat. We're not going to drink the king's wine. We're not going to do it. They had some convictions, and God blessed them. Thank God we can still raise good kids in the generation that we're living in right now. Hey, listen. We always hear this, and I'm done. Here, watch. Just because some of you just... Look, see, relax. We look at our kids. And I want you tonight, as we leave here, I want you to look at faces of your teenagers. Look at the faces of these little kids. Little Stephanie, look at her. She's cute as a button. Yeah, you are. I think she's the cutest one in here. Even over Sarah, wherever she went. I ain't letting the devil get them. I don't care if it costs me $350 a month to put them in Christian school. I ain't putting my kid in a public school so the devil can get them. God has given me the power. He told me He gave me the power, and that power is in that book. And if you don't believe that, you need to read the book a little bit more. God has given us the power. He's given us the confidence. He's given us what we need to raise our children. We just got to do it. We just got to get up off our southern hemispheres and decide, I am going to raise my kids for God. Judah did it. I'm going to do it. Let's all stand together. Look, it's 8:01. Some of y'all got excited. Let's pray. Father, tonight I thank You so much for what You have done for us. Lord, I pray that as we preach tonight that You convicted some hearts of some people tonight. Lord, I gave them a lot of Bible verses. We read probably over 25, 30 Bible verses tonight. And they didn't get what Brother Scott believes, but they get what the Bible said. What thus saith God. And Father, I pray that as You promised me in the Word of God that Your Word will not return void, I'm claiming that promise tonight as the Bible was preached that Your Word will not return void to these folks about the Christian education of their children. Father, I pray that they'll get behind the program. Father, I pray whether they can serve in the Christian school or whether they can be a substitute or whether they can be a helper or whether they can be a field trip director or whether they can be someone that comes and heats up lunches or maybe that be an old lady that's in here tonight, a senior saint, that they just pray for the Christian school every day. Or Father, maybe there's someone in here that financially You have blessed them with that they can financially be a blessing to the Christian school. Maybe they can sponsor a kid to get them out of the public school and put them into a Christian education. Father, I pray in any way that You would smite the hearts of the people here and have them serve in any way that they can for the Christian school. Father, You've commanded us to teach them. You've given us the power to teach them. And we're claiming Your promises tonight. Father, we want to raise children just like they did in Judah. So when they do leave this school, and they do leave our house, and they do leave this church, that they'll be able to go out and make a difference in the world. Father, we'll give You all the praise and all the glory and all the honor for what You do in our church and our Christian Academy. Lord, we love You. And Father, it would not be possible if it wasn't for that great precious lion out of the tribe of Judah. Lord, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for Him coming and dying on a cross for our sins. So that way we do have a hope in heaven that one day we can go there. Father, we never want to take for granted the precious blood of Christ. Father, as this invitation is coming, if the Lord has convicted the hearts, the piano is going to start playing. If the Lord, if the Lord worked on your heart tonight, the altar is open. You're welcome to pray and do as you see. We're going to sing a song. What number is it, brother? 160. If you like to sing, you're welcome to. If you want to pray, this altar is open. Folks, I challenge you tonight. Take what the Bible gave you and put it to your heart. Digest it tonight because it's so, so important for our children. Let's sing.